Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game. An expert broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Hello and welcome to another GOG Cast. My name is Leah. This is episode number 91 and officially our first episode that is not on Twitch. Kind of. Yes.
Lies. No, live. We had one.
We had one. Yes. Yeah, but that was more of a test. So this is our first time actually doing this off air, pre-recording, so that we can get you guys the best content possible. And we've got that for you today. But before we get into it, I want to tell you who all these fancy people are around the table. First off, my partner in crime, Catherine. How you doing?
I'm good. I got a drink. I'm well seated. Let's do this.
All right. We've got Miss 8-Bit Blonde herself. Allie, how you doing?
I'm very good.
And Simon, what's up?
I'm good. I had a beer too, so I have to burp not at the mic.
Yeah, don't do it at the microphone.
I'm going to try real hard. Tough,
all right, so we've got a really cool episode for you here today. I'm going to attempt to not whack my iPad off the table so you guys can't have that pop in your ears. All right, first off, what are y'all playing? Simon?
Me first. What have I been playing? Destiny, WoW Legion, Titanfall 2, Pokemon.
Everything.
Yeah, I mean, the gamut. Yeah, usually I like stick to one game, but I don't know. Right now I'm playing a lot of different games and it's cool.
Nice.
Having a good time. Yep.
Allie, what games you been
gaming? Oh, Overwatch. Sorry.
Oh yeah, Overwatch.
Important to
nice.
Talk about Overwatch.
Are you done?
You guys can see, which is making me
oh
a face right
goodness.
Now.
Oh my goodness. The death glare from the EBB.
Wow.
8-Bit Blonde Rage.
I am currently playing a game I can't talk about.
That's okay.
And also Titanfall 2, which I'm enjoying immensely. Yes. I picked it up during the Black Friday sale on Xbox.
A multiplayer or a single player?
Just single player campaign.
It's a fantastic campaign.
Hold on a second, Allie. This episode comes out on the 5th. You can talk about it.
Oh, then I'm playing Dead Rising 4.
There you go!
And it's awesome.
Dope.
Yeah, is that the Christmas one?
Yeah, it takes place like Black Friday, Christmas, holiday time. It's been quite the ride so far. One may call it a sleigh ride. Anyways, it's been great and I've been having a lot of fun with that.
Awesome. Love it. Cat.
I am playing a lot of Stardew Valley right now.
Oh.
I'm back into it and yeah, I've just it's funny how it's such a simple game, and as soon as I start playing it again, it just sucks me in so bad. So I've been mostly playing that and Pokemon Sun Moon.
Sweet.
Yeah. When I'm not at the computer and I'm forced to play something.
Well, I'm joining you in the Pokemon. Yeah, I am saying that correctly. Moon.
Pokemans.
Yeah. So I'm playing Pokemon Moon 2, and I'm just about to jump into Steep.
Oh,
I'm excited about that
because
it's like I'm kind of wanting winter now for snow, for the holidays, for all that jazz. Mm-hmm. And with that comes all the winter sports. Mm-hmm. I love to ski. I like to do jumps on my skis and tempt fate. This is
you
my
do
way to
or
do it.
Your character does.
No. In real life, I like to jump off moguls. Yeah, it's fun.
That we're going to see broken-legged Leah soon.
Yeah, no, I've been okay. I've been okay. I haven't killed myself yet. I have had some spectacular wipeouts in real life, and I bet I will in Steep as well.
We've got to get Mike to film you with a GoPro. A GoPro? I don't know what a GoPro is, but
they should market that.
Definitely.
All right, let's jump into the news. And most of us spend the evening on Thursday watching the Game Awards.
Yeah.
And first off the bat, I want to know overall thoughts on the show. Allie, I'm going to jump to you first.
Why?
Because I can and you're across from me.
Oh, I thought I was like making a face. The Game Awards were the Game Awards. Mm. I mean, production value was great. Everything else was super cringy, but I mean, that's what we've come to expect from the Game Awards.
Yeah.
I wasn't super pleased with the results this year, but I mean, I don't know what else I could have expected.
Mm.
So that's pretty much like, it was a thing. It was a nice 2 hours of my life to, you know, sit there and talk with you guys and basically like have like a live, like friend viewing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we did. We were on Discord chatting, talking live, and typing live, which is fun. I want to do more of that.
Yeah, so that was cool. Just like a nice way to relax. But I mean, I don't put much stock in the results of the Game Awards personally.
No. It's not the Oscars or anything. It's
even less so than the Oscars. Like,
it's no.
Just if something wins at the Game Awards, it's not going to convince me to go out and buy the game.
No.
But everything that did win, and I mean, it's not like one game swept the awards, but everything that did win was pretty solid this year.
I mean,
Uncharted took a few.
And Overwatch, too.
Not as many that I expected, though.
Well, no, I think that was probably on purpose.
Yeah.
Why?
But yeah.
Simon, thoughts?
I mean, yeah, I watched up until... I don't remember. I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched like the end results after and stuff, but
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Overwatch won too many awards.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I felt like...
From the man who really enjoys Overwatch.
No, I mean, it's a fantastic game. Don't get me wrong, but I feel that there was like some better games in different categories than Overwatch. And yeah. I feel that like the hype around Overwatch hasn't died yet, but I don't know.
I don't feel like it should have won Game of the Year.
No, yeah. Definitely not.
I really like Overwatch, and it is a good game, but it's not something new. It's not something revolutionary.
Yeah.
So for that to take home Game of the Year was like, oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah. Kat, you didn't watch, but you got to follow everything afterwards. Were you surprised?
I didn't really look up the results. That's how much I cared about the Game Award. And I only rewatched all the trailers that were revealed at the Game Awards. But the actual results, I was like, I don't care. I really don't. I'm sorry.
I think that, I don't know. I don't understand the point of the Game Awards.
I don't like award shows in general. Like, I watch the Oscars for, depending on the host, I watch the Oscars for the sketch, for the skits, for the performances. I watch any kind of music award for the performances. Who wins what? Yeah. I couldn't care less.
Exactly. Speaking of the performances, Run the Jewels were there, and once again, they screwed up the audio.
Funny.
But it was weird.
They're funny.
They are funny.
Like,
are they very funny?
A comedy band?
No, they're
not
like
really.
A
they're legit
pop rap.
Like rap
it was
band.
Funny.
Yeah.
They're really awesome, not live.
Yeah, I know. I love their album.
And I didn't know who the second band performing were.
The second band
was
the
like
Doom
Black
thing.
Beatles.
Oh, the other rock band. Yeah, I didn't know who the heck they were, and I work in radio, so that says something. But Doom Live was amazing. I was really, really intrigued by that because I didn't get a chance to play Doom yet, and that pretty much sold me on jumping into that game.
I would have loved to see some gameplay footage.
That would have been cool. Yes.
While they were playing.
That would have
been
really cool. That would have sold it. Though I love the Doom logo. I mean, it definitely set an atmosphere, but.
Yeah.
So other awards were handed out the night besides just video game awards. There was the Influencer of the Year award, which went to Boogie.
Yeah.
Yay. He was so cute.
Hashtag Team Boogie over here.
Yeah, I love Boogie. I don't know. I feel that his attitude towards a lot of things is what gaming kind of needs.
He, like, a lot of people see him as just, like, Francis, the angry video game nerd character, but he makes, like, a lot of very insightful, very, like, educated videos about a lot of, like, current events and topics in gaming.
Incredibly smart guy.
He's a very smart guy, and he's also very level-headed, which I think is something, when you're a YouTube personality, sometimes your character can overtake your message, especially if you're talking about touchy issues, and he manages to always kind of keep it very factual and, you know, positive. So I was really happy to see him take that award.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of things, we had Kojima, who got the Industry Icon Award, and Jeff Neely looked like he was about to break down into tears.
He was about to cry his eyes out.
Yeah.
Handing an award to, I mean, you know, Kojima's awesome and everything, but like...
Simmer down.
Jesus.
I actually wrote in chat while we were watching it, I was like, was he in Guantanamo and none of us knew about it? Like,
that's what it felt like.
He's a wonderful game designer, and he's done a lot for video games, but I mean, like...
And yes,
putting him on a pedestal.
Exactly.
Was
like, I mean, the guy got fired by Konami. He didn't get killed or anything or maimed. He just fucking got fired for whatever reason.
And he had to deal with the legal ramifications of his contract.
Like, he has, you know, he has the resources to do his own thing, which is exactly what he's doing.
Which...
And the name recognition to do his own thing.
Which they showed another trailer for Death Stranding, which was crazy.
Yes.
Oh my god, the casting in that game.
Yeah.
I don't know what the game is about. I don't care what the game is about. The casting in that game looks amazing and on point.
I love
like Mads. A good movie or a good TV show.
Well, I mean, Guillermo del Toro was like the star until what looks like the villain showed up in Mads Mikkelsen.
Mikkelsen?
Yeah. Yes.
Mikkelsen, he's bae.
He's bae.
Evil bae.
Well, that's it. That's why I think he's the villain. I mean, every other time I've seen him play a character, he's the villain. He was Lashifra in Casino Royale. Yeah. He was in Doctor Strange. He's the villain in Doctor Strange.
Hannibal.
Yeah.
Hannibal.
Oh, yeah. And he's Hannibal. Right.
I mean, because it's a typecasting, but it works just because he looks evil as fuck.
Like, seriously, though, if I was an actor, I would want to play villains.
Yeah,
they're the
it's
best.
Fun. It's fun. It's yeah, no. I mean, yeah. I think everyone's excited for the game now. Well, people were already excited, but I think they're even more excited now that
that was a little tidbit of information about that trailer. If you watch that in tandem with the other trailer that came out, there's a really interesting dichotomy between when the baby disappears from Norman Reedus's hands and then appears in that vial thing that Guillermo del Toro is carrying. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that pans out.
We don't even know what it's going to be about. We don't even know what kind of game it's going to be.
See, that kind of worries me a little bit. Like, I know it's going to be an interesting game, but Kojima himself has said that both trailers contain a lot of red herrings, and there's, like, a lot of... I'm curious how much of the trailers is actually going to be in the game, and it's not just showing us atmosphere.
I'm 95% sure that Guillermo del Toro will not be in the game.
I don't know.
I don't
never know.
I don't think he will. I think it's...
Or an NPC or something,
maybe,
just for a clip.
I don't think he's going to be... like. Yeah, well, even in the posters and everything, you don't see his name. It's just Mads Mikkelsen. And
there's a poster now with Guillermo on it.
Yeah, because I saw the new one with, like, Norman Reedus and Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, there's
I didn't
a third
see
one
also.
Now.
Interesting.
Shut up, Simon.
Interesting.
No.
Shut up, Simon. Another emotional part of the evening was the award given to that Dragon Cancer. Yeah. Oh my god, what an emotional speech. And now I want to watch and play that game, but I don't at the same time.
I'm conflicted because, I mean, when they were given out the award, I cried. Like, I was bawling.
We were all emotional.
Yeah, and like I could hear Alice sniffle in the chat. That was actually pretty funny. But it's the same guy who went after YouTubers and Let's Players because he didn't want them to play his game, which is like, well, like, don't... I know it's a personal thing, but like, don't you fucking want people to play your game and to live your game? Like, that's the point of making a game.
The comment that he went along with him going or you know, saying he wasn't comfortable with Let's Players was the fact that they hadn't made a dime off of game sales.
Which
and it
is
was like,
it works.
You know, like...
Really?
Yeah. I remember reading the article, I think it was on Polygon last year. Or even
it can't be last year if they got the award this year. Maybe early in the
year.
But so there was like a lot of... He had some controversy around him for a while, but his speech was incredibly emotional. It was interesting to see for them to see them have an award for like game with like the most social impact. Like that was an interesting award category.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. And I think it's due time for that to be in and acknowledged in an award way. Well, we didn't have that last year. I don't remember it last year.
No, but
I think it's good to acknowledge those types of games that are obviously not bestsellers but have an emotional impact, and that's what's going to make video games considered as art.
Yeah, well,
there's
I mean,
also the fact that, you know, video games get bad rap. They keep being blamed and saying they don't do any good. With that award, they're like, no, fuck you, that game did good, stop blaming us for all the gun violence when you're putting gun in our children's hands,
which we talked about last week,
which we did.
Crazy.
I guess it's
kid.
Also like kind of since it's because it's, I don't think it's industry people that voted. I think it's like...
It was media and stuff.
Yeah, it's media. Yeah. So I guess it's more... Makes more sense to have that kind of category when it's media people, like YouTubers and stuff, than like industry people. Cause
trailers were big. We saw the Prey trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw Mass Effect Andromeda.
Don't care.
We saw... Ooh, who's got the rage now? The salt.
I'm not raging.
The
I'm
salt.
Smiling.
There you
I
go.
Just don't care.
Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild trailer.
Yeah, I don't care.
And was there anything else? I'm trying to remember
Halo
off the top
Wars
of my head.
Two.
Halo Wars 2. Yes.
Atriox.
There you go.
It's gonna be so good, guys.
So we already talked about Game of the Year going over to Overwatch, which you know
is dumb. No, it's.
I
not.
Don't know. It's not dumb. I mean, when you think about it, that game has done well.
It's done well, but it's
and it's still doing well.
It's
I think that
as an award winner, it's
revolutionary in how it's approaching esports and how it's approaching how to, I guess, deal with the game as a whole. I feel like just Overwatch League is absolutely amazing, and they're the first to do it. And you know, I don't know. It's a great game and it works. And yeah, I understand from a game standpoint where it's like it's nothing new and it's not, you know, blowing everything out of the water. But I think that as a whole, what it did to the gaming community in general, I think it makes sense that it's Game of the Year.
After watching award shows, press conferences, that kind of stuff, are you guys hyped to play video games? Like, does that make you want to jump back in?
I mean,
your
I
console,
was playing video games while watching
well,
it.
Well, there you
so
go.
It's not like it changed anything.
I kind of was too. I was playing Pokemon Moon.
Yeah, I was playing Dead Rising as I was watching.
Cool. Kat?
Oh, I don't need award shows to be hyped about video games.
There you go. There you go.
I'm always hyped about video games.
Yeah,
awesome.
That's, yeah.
You can consider it my default setting.
All right, for those of you listening, we're going to give you a little context of where we're sitting, because you probably heard some action in the background. We're at Meltdown Montreal today. They've graciously let us set up here to be able to have a few minutes to ourselves, drink a little bit, get a little bit of the liquor on while we record a podcast. It's kind of fun.
Which we usually do, but people don't know.
No, well, I mean, no, like, I make it kind of clear that I have something in my glass.
True, we usually do it from the privacy of our own home.
Yeah, now we're in public.
Yeah, it's true.
So we got to keep it contained.
I had to put on pants now.
Yeah, exactly. The other bit of news I want to talk about, this is also, like, we're Saturday evening now when we're recording. This morning was the keynote from PlayStation Experience. Two big pieces of news came out. First off, Last of Us Part 2.
Yes,
excitement.
Confirmed.
Joel and Eli.
Grown up!
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
My God. Eli?
Ellie. Sorry.
Do you want to try that again?
No. No. I live with my mistakes.
Joel and Eli. Joel oh, my God. Things
Ellie.
Have changed since
no,
the last.
I mean, yeah. I'm so... I bought a PS4 to play Last of Us.
How eerie was that song? Like, legit.
Yeah. I think, like, that and the Death Stranding trailer, we are fucking close to Uncanny Valley. Like, whoa. Those... They look really fucking real.
Yeah.
I know it's pre-rendered, but...
The
wow.
visuals were pretty.
Yeah.
It wasn't Death Stranding running.
I think it was running on PS4.
Yeah,
Pro.
It was like,
PS4
yeah,
Pro
it was
probably.
Running,
but still.
PS4 Pro.
I mean, it looked
it's
fantastic.
Crazy.
I'm not, yeah, I'm super excited for
well,
Last
I'm,
of Us Part 2.
Like, I was in awe, like, jaw dropped every minute that I played Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
And that is, I guess, early in the life cycle of the console.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Last of Us, the original one, came at the end
at the
of the PS3.
Yeah.
Still looked gorgeous.
And it looked amazing on
yeah.
PS4 remastered.
Yeah. So just imagine what we're in for.
Yeah. No, I'm super excited for it. And the game
I know,
at
but
one
the
point,
people,
like
the game's
fucking,
been out for 3 years.
I get
think
that, but so many people have not.
But the
but
people
so many
that
people
were there,
it.
The people sitting in that conference
yeah.
were PlayStation hardcore folks. So
yeah, no,
you got to
sure,
think
sure.
that they
I mean,
watched
people,
it.
Like, just when they showed the logo on the stop sign, people were like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
no, for sure.
Speaking of Uncharted, there was also Uncharted news.
Yeah.
We're getting, and I thought I was done with Uncharted for a while, which is awesome. I get more. So Uncharted The Lost Legacy features Chloe, who we know from Uncharted 2, and Nadine, who was new to Uncharted 4. So I'm really stoked about that.
I believe there's a... Uncharted Survival 2, which is another DLC.
Yeah,
I think there's
I
some kind of DLC
I didn't
coming.
Watch, there's I saw a graphic. It's an Uncharted
graphic.
Legacy and then Uncharted
I,
Survival. So I don't know, is it two DLCs?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but I'm just
That's
happy.
Awesome, though.
I'm just happy there's more Uncharted coming because I thought I was done with that for a while, and I love Uncharted.
Well, they said Uncharted 4 was the finale in the Nathan Drake saga, but I'm pretty sure we'll get Uncharted with
yeah.
new protagonist.
A new leaf or something.
Yeah, and if you have played to the end of Uncharted 4,
don't spoil
there's
it.
Good nods to that.
Don't spoil.
I'm not going to spoil shit.
Just going off what Simon said, it's going to be an Uncharted Animal Crossing crossover.
Exactly.
Uncharted New Leaf.
Uncharted Crossing.
I love it.
Now, I actually bought the Nathan Drake collection, so I guess that's what I'm going to do during the holiday break.
Oh, you are so lucky to be playing that for the first time.
Yeah, that's what everyone's been telling me. Like, oh my God, I wish I could play the game again for the first time
just
live the story.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy that. Yeah. Bear with one. Realize that when it was made, it was, it's been a while,
but two is
the best.
I was reading actually that for the, I don't know if you played the Nathan Drake collection.
I did.
Okay.
I reviewed it.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
I did.
For sure, Leah reviewed it, of course. But I was reading.
I know everything that's going on in Girls on Games.
I know all the things. No, but I was reading that they fixed a lot of issues that people had with the first game.
They did.
So that it's not as bad to play it.
Yeah, but it still has that feeling that it's from, oh my God, when did Uncharted 1 come out?
It was a PlayStation 2 game.
Yes. Three. No, three.
Three?
Yeah.
Early in the... Okay.
Yeah, very early. Oh,
was it a launch title?
No.
No?
No.
I feel it was.
Okay. I have no idea.
But yeah,
idea.
No, I'm excited to get to play the game.
You're going
to
enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right, topic of the show this week, we're bringing you something special. So a few weeks ago, it was MIGS, Montreal International Games Summit, and I got the chance to talk with Jonathan Abenheim. He is a 3D animator who works at Ludia Studios here in Montreal, and besides currently doing some work on mobile games and some really, really cool stuff in that, he also has worked on games like Halo, Splinter Cell, Prince of Persia, Assassin's Creed, and Far Cry. And he also has an amazing series where he teaches you how to animate in Watch Me Animate on YouTube. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Jonathan Abenheim, and enjoy. All right, Jonathan,
yes.
You are currently an animator at Ludia Games here in Montreal.
I am.
And can you give the folks a little background on how you got into video game animation?
So how did I start in the industry? So I have to go way back. My big brother, who loves me, started me off with Coleco and Atari. So I was born into a ColecoVision. For those who remember ColecoVision, I love you. And if you don't, well, you probably weren't raised properly. So Coleco and Atari were the first two systems I owned. Then fast forward many, many years, a couple of Bruce Lee movies for good measure. I somehow was confused about what I wanted to do. Like most teens, I used to draw comic books. I could not draw, I can copy and I can basically draw anything I could see.
Mimic, in a sense.
Mimic, yeah, exactly. Yeah. The family gave me the support. They're like, you're amazing, you're this, you're that. But parents and, brothers and sisters, they're always biased. So fast forward many years, my brother-in-law, I saw the movie Jurassic Park, and I saw a Discovery Channel interview called On Movie Magic. It was a show on Discovery Channel where they were talking, artists were like, I worked on Jurassic Park, and I worked at Softimage, which is in Montreal. And I thought Hollywood and movies you could only do in Hollywood. Mm. So when I saw that, I told my brother-in-law, Victor, wonderful guy, love you. He took me to a open house at Interdeck. I started off my career after I finished my school at Ubisoft, which was back in 2000. We were two people hired from, if you think of Ubisoft today, I don't even know what the count is on a monthly basis. But
oh my God.
Probably in the hundreds.
Yeah, I know. I've got a friend who's
probably
there. And she's
in the
like,
hundreds.
No, she's like, I'm like, do you know this person? And she's like, there's 2,000 people in the city that work at Ubisoft. And I'm like, oh, dang.
So once upon a time, I could remember every employee's name.
Wow.
We were two employees. We started off, first game I worked on was Jungle Book Rhythm and Groove on the PlayStation 2.
Wow.
Which was a dance game. My other buddy, who actually, surprise, surprise, we worked together today in the same office, 16 years later. He worked on Donald Duck Quackers, Gone Quackers, I believe. And that's what I started. Ubisoft was my home. Wonderful people. It's like my first girlfriend, my first love.
There you go.
And I started off there. Splinter Cell, when at the time we were working on it, nobody had a clue. We were big gamers. I was more the PC guy and old King's Quest, Space Quest. The traditional point-and-click adventure games. First computer game was Police Quest 3, for those who remember. I love you guys. And for those who don't, it's okay. It probably will come out again. Everything that's old is new eventually. So first big game I worked on was Splinter Cell, which opened up the door. After that, there was Rainbow Six. I got a chance to work on Prince of Persia. I went from Ubisoft to eventually trying my hands on dinosaurs at Discovery Channel show called Dinosaur Planet at Meteor Studios, which is no longer unfortunately open. And so once I did Discovery Channel, Meteor Studios, I went back to my I went back to go visit my girlfriend. I was like, you know, Ubisoft, I miss you guys. I went back. I did another 3 years. Got to work on a bunch of games at Ubisoft. I left. I did a stint with conferences. I tried doing events, which was fun and scary at the same time. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I got Halo as a side contract because we were doing Bungie. Let me backtrack. DamFX, which is a studio in Montreal, got a contract from Bungie to do the cinematics. We got some really kick-ass animators that were in town, and one of my wonderful friends, Emil Goryeb, who is right now at Weta, overseeing animation direction at Weta Digital, for those who know, New Zealand. He was overseeing the project. He's like, hey, John, you want to work on Halo? And I'm like, yes, please. Duh. So he hooked us up with the Halo contract while we were doing the events. And then I worked on some freelance stuff here and there. And then eventually got the next big gig was back at Ubisoft, going back another contract through another studio, which was Assassin's Creed and Far Cry. And then I ended up helping out some friends doing Outlast, which was a wonderful indie title at the time. Now it's huge. A big horror game, won many awards. And then fast forward to today, I am at Ludia, where we're doing mobile. So I went from AAA to mobile in 16 years.
Wow.
Sorry for the extended, that was like the extended intro. That was an extended intro.
But that's impressive. It shows you've got quite a pedigree behind you.
I appreciate it.
You've seen some stuff.
I've seen a lot of things in my time. I've a lot of wonderful stories that I'd be glad to share. Some that I've probably would surprise many people.
Okay, so I'm going to jump in a little deeper into your background, because I mean, when you see things like Halo, Splinter Cell, Assassin's Creed, Prince of Persia, Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, I mean, like, as a gamer, your eyes kind of bug, the fact that you worked on all those games. Can you give me details on what exactly you worked
on? Yes. So absolutely. I can remember the first time I opened up the scene in Maya for Halo and I saw Master Chief. I was like, really? I'm not sure we're allowed to swear, so we keep it professional.
No, you can.
I was like, holy shit. I'm like, holy shit, this is. And I remember I bought an Xbox for Halo. That was the only game I probably own on Xbox with another few side games. But
so was this the original Halo that you were working on?
No, I worked on Halo 3.
Okay.
I worked on Halo 3, but I'm like, oh my God, this is Halo. I'm working on Halo. This is a Master Chief scene.
Yeah.
And I'm flipping out and I'm like, wow, why is the real? I go, this is simple. I thought it was more sophisticated. It was, for us, it was for me personally, on a nostalgic level, it was huge. Production wise, we had to get shit done. You know, like, of course, get over the fact that it's Sam Fisher. You're animating him, make it happen. It was cinematic. So I got to work on the second intro cutscene in the game.
Okay, so now tonight I'm going to go home, pop in my Master Chief collection and watch
that. The second shot. Emilio, who was overseeing the work, he was fantastic. He had given me like the, I think it was the second shot and the third shot. I didn't have time to do the third sequence, so that was handed over to another animator because I was overloaded on my side. So I had enough time to do the second part, just to say I got a chance to work on that.
Wow.
Assassin's Creed, huge game.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely on the scale of team size, it was humongous. There was multiple cities working on that at the same time.
The original one?
No, the Assassin's Creed 4, I believe.
Four. Four.
I might have to check my facts.
No,
there's so many Assassin's Creed and I'm lost. It was like, and this was like,
what was the setting? That's where I get confused.
I was on a boat.
Oh yeah, Black Flag.
Black Flag. That's
on
right.
A
Black
boat
Flag.
With
Black
the
Flag.
Shanties.
Black Flag.
Yeah,
you said it.
I love
right.
it.
Black
there you
Flag.
Go.
I drew a blank as I appreciate it, Leah. So yes, Assassin's Creed Black Flag. We got now. They have a fantastic motion capture studio. A lot of the content that we were doing was related to cleaning up the data.
Mm-hmm.
We had to come and clean up the data. They had a fantastic facial system, a proprietary system in-house. Really, like as an anime, you're like, geez, like I don't really get to do much here, because it's that cool.
It's really
well done. First of all, hands down, like motion capture, you need it when you're making a game that big.
Yeah.
When you have that many thousands of animations, there's so much stuff to do. You need motion capture. Motion capture has its place. Now, I of course love both. I prefer keyframing because I get more. I'm hands on.
Yeah.
But when we were on Assassin's Creed, it was cleaning up the mocap data, which was excellent, by the way. The data was coming in. But the occasional time where the shot is, you have the whole setting of the shot changed. The guy's opening up a door which no longer exists. You got to make the data work so that now he's no longer opening up a door and he's not moving his hand and all that. We got to go on set. I got to go on the shoots. It was super, super cool. Daryl Purdy, who was overseeing, I hope I get the right the name, Daryl's fantastic animator, who was overseeing the production of that with us, overseeing the shoots. It was super cool. We got a chance to go on location with them, with the actors. I forget the name also of the guy who did Far Cry. Far Cry, he was the villain.
What's the villain? Foss? Michael Bando?
Yeah, exactly.
In Far Cry 3? Oh my God, Michael. Yeah, Michael in that game. Yeah. Shout out, buddy.
He was super badass. It was super cool to see him in action and do the shots. For Far Cry, so Assassin's Creed was mostly motion capture cleanup.
Yeah.
Far Cry was a little bit of motion capture cleanup along with a lot of the facial expressions, mm-hmm. redoing the facial expressions with their proprietary system, which is like super cool. It's like you're in Disneyland animating. It's like, wow, I wish all softwares did this easy.
Yeah.
So what was that? What other games? Outlast?
Outlast, yeah, you worked at Outlast. It's funny because I just interviewed the community manager is actually part of Girls on Games.
Oh,
and so she's on Outlast 2 now, working with us for GOG and then doing that. And Outlast.
Yeah,
scary.
Outlast was like, you know, I bumped into the Metro seeing Dave, who was one of the founders. Mm-hmm. And then Dave and I would go way back, old school Ubisoft. All the guys were from Ubisoft. Phil, Hugo, and Dave. And we're like, he's like, yo, John. I'm like, yo, Dave, what's up? He's like, yeah, I'm just working on my own game. I'm like, really? What are you doing? He's like, yeah, I'm making this horror game. And I'm like, Dave is like, nobody knows. I don't know if anyone knows, but Dave is a legit horror movie fanatic.
Oh, yeah?
He owns every horror movie possible.
That's like the best type of person to have working on a horror game, though.
There was nobody more passionate about horror movies than Dave. David Chateauneuf, props to him. Fantastic. Super. They're all class acts. Mm. But he is a huge horror movie buff. Like, loves horror movies. It's like, I'm working on this horror game. I'm like, really? That'd be cool, man. I never had a chance. Like, who gets a chance to work on a horror movie game? Like, nobody. Like, a horror game. Nobody does that.
Yeah.
So this was like pretty new. I'm like, I was working at DamFX doing some subcontracting stuff, and I remember telling my boss, super cool, small industry. I'm like, I told her, I go, listen, I got some buddies. They asked me if I wanted to join them full time, and I think I'm gonna do it. You know, help out my buddies. They're working on their own game. Like, I would love to contribute. So I believe I was one of the first animators that they hired full time. I got a chance to do all the intro, the keyframing, the whole entire intro. So they had a rough pass on the whole trailer for the game. I went over it. I did my pass and worked my magic. Guys, you like it? Yes, no. They love it. Yes, good. We're good to go. Shipped it. I got a chance to work on some of the game stuff. And yeah, that's what I did for Outlast. It didn't last forever because they were a small team.
Mm-hmm.
They needed someone who was more generalist. So I had to obviously move on. They had to find somebody. Remember, they're a small indie team. Mm-hmm. They have a budget. They won the award, I think, with the CFM, the Canadian Media Fund, CMF.
Yes.
So they won the prize. They were chosen to develop. So they have a budget to work on the game. And you need to have guys who are very generalist. My entire career was focused on animation. Mm-hmm. So when they said, John, you know, it pains us to, like, you know, we have to find somebody to replace you who can help us out on other fronts. I totally understood that aspect.
Is it particular the type of animation you do? Like, do you stick to people or creatures? Or?
No, it's mostly a generalist that can do, is more well-rounded in rigging and also can assist in that department as well. And help out, you know, rigging is tied to modeling and all that. So I was very focused on the animation part. And that's basically what I've been doing from day one, because there was always experts around me that were just that much better at rigging. Like, John's not going to learn how to rig when we have, you know, X, Y, and Z that are like pro riggers. Like, why waste time? John, just give us animations. So that my entire career was focused on animation. I always regret that part. Like, if there's something I would have loved to do, I would have loved to spend more time rigging and doing more technical aspect. But yeah, so that's what I did at Outlast. What other studios did I work?
What do we say? Halo, Splinter Cell, Prince of Persia.
Splinter Cell. How can I forget those classics? So yeah, way back, the first big one. Splinter Cell, true story. So we used to make fun of each other. Okay, there was
within Ubisoft
there was rivalry. Now, I don't know if anybody's gone on the record to say this. Perhaps you're hearing an exclusive world first. But I will tell you, this is a true story. We were big Counter-Strike fans.
Okay.
We would be like, yo, guys, we are too good at Counter-Strike. We're going to invite another company. We had Relic in Vancouver who challenged us. We destroyed them. Okay, shout out to all the Counter-Strike boys, Schnookums, 187, all these guys that used to play. If they're listening, these are my buddies. We used to play religiously. So there was a divide in teams because Ubisoft acquired Red Storm, okay? And that was a first-person shooter. So Ubisoft acquiring first person. Like, we're doing first person shooters. We just went from like Donald Duck to Batman Vengeance and Tarzan. We're like, oh, hey, we're doing something cool. Batman was actually well received at the time. Jungle Book was just like my first game, you know, like it was just an experience, but that was a dancing game. I don't think that did really well. I still own the game, actually. But Splinter Cell. So Splinter Cell comes around. We don't know about this title. It's called Third Echelon. Internally, they're like, hey, guys, we've got this game. It's called Third Echelon. You're a spy. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. Just we'll do the animation. So we're working on it. A bunch of us were doing, we're recording ourselves downstairs with old school camcorders, you know, with cassettes, mini DV tapes. You know, now you guys get to record with your phones. You don't have tapes. We had the old school stuff with tapes. We had the plastic guns. There wasn't the Nerf ones. We had to, like, find plastic guns that, like, look, you know, cool enough to kind of use to mimic what the weapons were in the game. So we would shoot all of our video and have that as reference. We do a lot of the NPC. All the non-playable characters, we got the chance to animate. I got a chance to animate Sam Fisher. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was still a rookie. I believe I'm still junior, like very junior then. So I got a chance to animate like a Sam Fisher death, which is really cool. Nice. It's no longer on my reel because it's just too old now.
That happens.
Yeah, yeah. I got a chance to animate the dogs and mostly NPCs, so non-playable characters. The other Prince of Persia. I did a lot of in-game stuff. I animated the prince. I animated a lot of the cutscenes, which were scripted events. Mm-hmm. And really, once we released those two games, Splinter Cell really put us on the map, legit put us on the map. And I remember, this is a true story, Namco reaches out for an interview. So all my friends now leave. Like, everybody's like, holy shit, I can go work anywhere in the world.
Right.
This is
the kind You've of got power, the cred now.
This is the kind of power that Ubisoft gave you with that title under your belt. People were like going all over the world. Literally, I lost a lot of my close friends to, you know, California, mostly California. But I remember Namco reaching out. I'm like, oh, shit, I got an interview from Namco?
Well, now.
Pac-Man? I'm like, I got to I got to go check it out. So I remember sitting in this interview, and they're like, so tell us, how much motion capture did you use for this for Splinter Cell? And I'm like listening to them talk. That a couple of people in the room taking notes. I'm like, we didn't use any motion capture.
They thought it was motion capture.
You know what? It was honestly a compliment to us. And I'm laughing. I'm like, sorry guys, I don't mean to disappoint you because I feel bad. I'm like, holy shit, they flew us down. They flew me down, and like I was actually excited. But when we started talking about it, they thought this was all mocap. I'm like, really? I'm like, wow. I'm like, our stuff was really that good. I was really
That's
surprised.
A feather in your cap.
It was honestly very humbling. Very humbling. I don't think I got the job. No, I didn't get the job at Namco. Wonderful people. Wonderful people. But that's a true story. When Splinter Cell hit, I got a couple interviews. One of them was memorable, and they asked us. They were telling us like we thought it was motion capture. So I ended up blowing. I guess telling them like in a way I saw their reaction on their face when I told them no, it was just us really recording ourselves, and just we had reference, and that's it. And
cool.
Like, oh, okay.
Very cool. And Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia. Prince of Persia was purely cinematic.
Okay.
Yeah, purely cinematic in game and cinematic. I touched a couple of bad guys. The prince, Kaina, Kaina. I think it was Kaina in the game. There's so many names. I lost track of the names. But I got to animate the main characters. I got to do a lot of the cutscenes. It was a lot of fun. Sad, true story, but sad story. But these are fun industry stories to share with you because I don't really get a chance to talk to them. So Prince of Persia, we were sent to Morocco
to
go create. You know, they were going to do the studio. Morocco was doing Game Boy games. If you guys remember Game Boy games, respect to that. Game Boy Advance, to be specific. Morocco Studio was doing Game Boy Advance. They sent a bunch of us there to go train the people. But sadly, we get there. Some people had gone. They had moved their entire family to Morocco.
Oh, wow.
And to live for a couple of years to help produce the game. Because, you know, Morocco sounds the time. It works well.
Yeah.
You know, the prince, the whole theme. Unfortunately, they brought the game back. They had to cancel it. So, you know, you felt really bad. We were there, wonderful people. And some of them came to Montreal, and Ubisoft really was super, super fantastic. You know, of course, it's not fun for a studio. You have to remember, the studio is investing a lot of money. There's a lot of pressure for a studio to deliver. Fans are expecting. So they had to, you know, it was a decision made at the highest level too, that it would make sense to bring it back to Montreal and try to bring as many of the Morocco artists who are extremely talented back to Montreal. And so that's what happened. So we brought back the project, and we ended up developing it in Montreal.
Wow, that's quite the resume of AAA.
Thank you.
But now you've decided to kind of switch gears a little bit. And instead of console style or PC style, you've jumped into mobile. What was the transition like there?
I have to say, Leah, it's very interesting. A long time ago, I never thought, because everybody in the industry can relate to the word ego. Okay, not a good word. And when you're an artist, the progression of an artist, especially animators, is you work on games, then you do TV, and then you do film, and then you are a super rock star, and then everybody respects you.
Silver screen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So going from games, console, to mobile is like, John, what the are you doing? This is true. You know, friends of me are like, John, are you... Now, I'm not talking about Ludia because there was another point where...
Yeah.
Before Ludia.
Okay.
Before Ludia, there was another studio... fantastic studio. I won't mention names out of respect. It was fantastic studio, but they weren't ready at the time.
Okay.
They weren't ready. When I got there, I was like, you know what? I'm open minded to it. I'm gonna try it out. The 3D was not enough. The technology and the software wasn't good enough for us for an animator like myself to come in and be useful to the project. So fast forward all these years, and I have a friend, the person who I first started my career with 15 years ago. Ends up, I find out he's in town. My buddy Backy, who left Ubisoft when Splinter Cell, you know, we rocked out Splinter Cell. He left. He went to California.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing Call of Duty. He was working on all the big games, doing Activision stuff. And so I heard he's back in town. Like, oh shit, Backy's back in town.
Nice.
I go, my buddy Backy's back in town. The guy I first started like my career with. This is like nostalgic. So I'm like, where's he at? He's like, he's at Ludia. I'm like, I've never heard of Ludia. So I started, you know, digging, and I reached out, and he's like, dude, this is the best place. This is seriously what he told me. He's like, John, this is a gem in Montreal. Nobody knows about this. But I'm telling you, I work there. He goes, you're going to love it here.
Nice.
So I'm like, enough said. Hook me up if you can, please. Let me apply. I went for the application. It went really well. And when I started, I was super impressed. First of all, I'll tell you three things that Ludia. Now, Ludia does not pay me to say any of this. For the record, okay. This is me talking as an artist. Three things that Ludia does fantastic that are super important to me now, 16 years later. Work-life balance, mm-hmm. super important. Yes, I love animation, but yes, I have a life outside of work. Yes, I have family and friends. I like to do stuff. I'm not just looking at games and playing games all day long, mm-hmm. And working on them. So that's super important. Work-life balance, number one. Number two, diversity of projects that I get to work on. So I'm touching turtles. I'm playing with dinosaurs. I'm playing with dragons. Every animator's dream. Every animator's dream, you get to animate three of the most... Like, bipeds, for the technical geeks out there listening, bipeds for an animator is two-legged, you know, humanoid, right? Two legs, biped. Quadruped is like the evolution. When you're really good at doing biped, you can do animation.
So they double up. You get twice the amount of
legs.
Double
up. Double the trouble. More difficult because you can't record yourself doing any of this.
No.
Act like a horse. Act like this creature.
You can't do that.
Record a dragonfly. Like, okay, good luck.
They don't exist. It's kind of hard.
That's it. So we get to touch dragons, dinosaurs, and turtles. All at once. And I'm like, in my 13 years of AAA, I have never had the opportunity to work on that much in such little time. So what I love, diversity. So number one, the work-life balance. Number two, diversity, the cool project. Plus there's other stuff later that unfortunately I can't talk about.
Of course.
NDA stuff.
That is the world we live in.
That's it. It makes it sound cooler, but I wish I could say everything right now so that you guys would be like, oh man, we can't wait. I wish we could.
We'll wait with bated breath when Ludia drops the press release. And then we will share it to the world.
I promise you will be the first. I will ping you on the social networks.
I love it.
Promise. You can come get a tour. Okay, I will give you a tour and show
you
the game hands on.
I haven't been there in a long time.
You'll love it. It's super cool.
It's been a good
cool.
3-4 years, I think, since I visited the studio. Has it grown?
We're growing actually pretty fast.
Wow.
We're going pretty fast at this rate. It's very reminiscent of my early Ubisoft days when we were 400. It's really strange.
Go.
It's like I'm reliving.
How it comes around.
I swear, it really feels like that. So the second thing, like I said, diversity, and the third is opportunity for growing within the studio. And I really feel that those three things that mean a lot to me make my experience at Ludia super, super special. The major differences, there's a lot to talk about in terms of differences, but if I have to outline the major ones, AAA, you're working on, the guy or the girls playing the game, guys and girls, you're on your couch, mm-hmm. you're $60 invested into the title. You know, now you got Steam way back, you bought the cartridge, well, it was more expensive. Maybe Steam is a little bit cheaper now, but actually maybe not. It's actually the same price.
It depends.
Yeah, it depends on the game. But let's say you have a couch,
mm-hmm.
big ass TV.
Yep.
Super HD. We're talking mm-hmm. like 45 inch now, minimum style. Like everybody can afford a 45 inch. They're super cheap. So you got full res, full HD, 1080p. Now it's 4K. So the major difference now, you're going from big screen to small screen.
Right.
The challenges are, okay, the guy who plays or the girl who plays on a console knows that, you know, this is not a game that you pick up 5 minutes and you drop. You're going to play for an hour or two.
You're invested. You have time set in your day to sit there and enjoy the experience.
Absolutely. 100%. Mobile game, you pick up, you want to play for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You want to put it down, but you want to pick it up later on. Yeah. And you have another 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
But you want those five to 10 minutes to be so much fun and so rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different mindset. The game designers are fantastic. I mean, I can't really talk about game design because that's not my expertise, but the game designers do a fantastic job to balance this out. So the different type of game you're playing. Smaller screen, in terms of animation, you want to try to focus in on the big details. So for example, the dragons that I'm working on,
mm-hmm.
the feet, the spread on the feet, like little details that are going to really look really cool if you see it in big screen. You don't see that on a small screen. Okay. You don't need to worry about. You need to worry about the big body parts, like the torso, the head, the wings,
mm-hmm.
the arms, the tiny little fingers on a small screen. You don't really need to see that. So you try to focus in on the things that the player is really going to pay attention to mostly and the big parts of the game. Animation-wise, you know, when you're playing a mobile game, it's fast-paced. Not every type of game, but certain, like, for example, in our Dragons, we have PvP. It's more fast-paced. You can't have it very, very long. Now, I'm animating to really support the game designers. And then when you have, like, a super move where one of the dragons is power move, a special move, there you really that you get to unleash your animation and have fun, and you really get to show something really cool full screen. So there's a balance. It's a juggling act. I try to remind the team of what the player is seeing on screen, his interaction with the game. It's got to be instantaneous. You do something, you want it, react.
Yeah.
You know, when you push the joystick up, the player has to move. You can't have always gorgeous animation, cinematic quality at all times. And that's not what makes a great game anyway.
I think it's those limitations, though, that really spark creativity. Because yeah. if you've got only so many things that you can work with, that's where the greatest magic comes out of.
Oh, totally. There's like a new breed of designing games. Like, there was no economist when I started in, like, AAA. Now you have an economy manager. You have the social media manager.
Yep.
You have so many different fronts on mobile that I never even knew existed. Mm. So many new jobs. Just like the 2D guys never saw the 3D guys coming along and then thinking that it's all going to be 3D. We could debate that, but like this is just a point of view. But I think you understand my explanation.
Completely.
Yeah. So there's so many more design. There's so many more challenges that you end up you create differently. And you so for an animator's point of view, I'm animating differently. I have just as much fun animating for mobile as I did for AAA. Okay. If not more, because it's really, I mean, I am doing keyframe all 99%. There's no motion capture.
So right. Aside from my,
you know, I have meetings and stuff where I don't get to animate, where I have to participate. So I'm animating. When I get a chance, it's keyframe. The guys have a blast. The guys and girls on the team have a blast. Mm-hmm. It's really, they really get to play with rigs that most animators would dream for. And I really mean this. Like, a lot of us, when we started in school, it was like, man, if I could only touch a like, these are really well-known licenses. Jurassic World, number one.
Yep.
And the movie that
you
got
you said
me,
it was the movie that got you into it.
Yeah, full circle. Imagine that.
Yeah.
It's like, who would have scripted that? I would have never guessed in a million years. Jurassic, How to Train Your Dragons. You got all these awesome characters. DreamWorks it did a fantastic job on the movie. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. How can you go wrong with turtles?
No, exactly.
Like, those 80s
kids were loving it.
Who doesn't love the turtles? So yeah. So I think we took a long. That was a long extent. Another extended
answer. It's all good. That's the point. It's a conversation. That's what
awesome.
We're aiming for.
I appreciate it.
There's something that you brought up though.
Yes.
That you talked about how it used to be that you'd start in games and go to TV and then go to film.
Yes.
And then everybody freaked out when you decided to go from AAA to mobile.
Absolutely.
But the way I'm looking at it now is like, yes, video games are now a bigger business than movies, and mobile gaming has blown up.
Oh,
because everybody's got a phone.
Exactly. This is it. And you know the Razer Flip. Remember the Razer?
Oh yeah.
When we were like limited to just Tetris blocks and a pool game. Now you got literally you can play a game that is as cool. And I say this in all honesty, some games are visually stunning.
Yeah.
And yes, the hardware is gone. Like we're talking about in the next 5 years, there's no way. Like, look at the Nintendo Switch, for example.
Oh yeah,
Nintendo Switch now, super cool. I'm a huge Nintendo fan. God bless Nintendo. I love them. I grew up on the Nintendo, so I love everything they do. And I'm a fan of the fact that there's something fun about these less violent games. I love action.
Yeah.
I love horror.
Time
I love
and place.
Everything.
Time and place.
I love Mario. You can't go wrong with
Mario. I know
Mario. Breaking bricks.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go wrong with that. So look at Nintendo Switch with the portability of the console.
Right.
I mean, they must be paying attention to what's going on with the mobile.
They have to be.
And for sure, eventually.
Well, we know they are because they've done Miitomo. They had something involved in Pokemon. And now they've got that Endless Runner, the Mario Run game that's coming out this holiday. Exactly. So they know there's something. I mean, as much as we say, oh, they should have jumped on it sooner.
And look at the Nintendo NES Mini. They shrunk it down.
Which nobody can freaking get their hands on right now.
Leigh, if you can hook us up with one. Oh my God. Please tell me if you have any ins. Okay, whoever finds out first, I'll go poke people
and see what I can find out for you.
So really, the mobile industry is booming. The devices are fantastic. You know, we have the iPhones, of course. Androids are super powerful now, and the designing around an Android has always been challenging, but it's getting more and more streamlined. We're across the board. You have these devices now. In like 5 years, I think the longevity of the device, you're going to be able to develop a game that will last longer because, you know, when you're creating a game for mobile, you try to create a game that everyone can play on their phones. Yeah. Everybody. Not everybody has an iPhone 7. Everybody has a Google Pixel.
Right. You have to think about all the different iterations and OSs.
Exactly. That is super
Android,
complicated. Mobile, when you're designing for Xbox, iOS, Nintendo, yeah, or PlayStation, you know what you're dealing with.
Yeah,
everybody's got the same machine.
Yeah, the unit is the same. I mean, when you think, I remember back in 2013 when everybody was like, what do I buy, PS4 or Xbox One? I'm like, essentially the same console. What do you want to play? That was the question that I asked because we got that all the time.
Exactly. So I think in a few years, it's a no-brainer. We don't need statistics on this one. Mm. We don't have to call in any studies.
Mm-mm.
It's a sure bet that all these devices are going to be just as powerful, if not as powerful as the consoles. Somewhere, and I have to thank Remy, fantastic game designer with me at Ludia. He's like, I share his vision on the future of gaming. Is like, eventually there will be a blur. The line is so blurred between mobile and console.
Oh, yeah.
You won't see the difference.
No.
If you want to play at home on the couch, you play at the couch. If you want to go and leave and play on the go, you play on the go. That's it. And your device will be able to support it.
I think it's November. We're middle of November. We're already thinking about game of the year stuff.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, looking back at what I've played this year, most of my time has been spent playing mobile device games because I am commuting and it's easy. It's in my pocket. I can take it wherever I need to go. Even when I'm watching TV, I'm playing a game.
Leah, can I ask you? And is there a Clash Royale by any chance?
No.
What?
No, I'm actually playing. I was playing
Candy Crush.
A lot of a version of Candy Crush, and I'm sorry, we've talked about this in the cast, and I have no shame. But I was playing the Sailor Moon version.
Ah.
And that's me reliving my childhood there. Anna was playing the SimCity Build It.
Oh, very nice.
So, it's just, and like you said, it's games that you can jump in little amount of time, whatever, and then step back.
Absolutely.
And a lot of cases for some of the mobile games, too, I would get stuck, and I find I need that away time. I need that in console gaming, too, where I just do things 5 or 6 times, get really frustrated, want to fling my controller at the wall, and then come back and finish it in 5 minutes.
That's right.
I find that happens in mobile games a lot, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, if there's one thing I wish that, this is just me talking, my personal gaming wish list. If there's anything that I wish games could be more like, I remember the days where you can play a game and probably finish it within a few hours. And I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't need no extra content. I don't need no DLC. I remember, like, Limbo. Recently, I played Inside and Limbo.
Both amazing games.
Both of them I got a chance to finish in just like 2-3 weekends. I didn't invest 3,000 hours.
No.
Don't get me wrong. Some games are just amazing.
Look at all the kids going back to Skyrim.
You know? Like, to me, it's like, there's something rewarding about starting it and being able to finish it.
Yeah.
And being able to, it's like I watched a movie.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to go, I want to see the start, I want to see the middle, and I want to see the end. Mm. And I'm happy. Okay, show me a sequel when the sequel comes out.
Yeah.
I don't need the more content, more of this. Yeah. But that's just me personally.
And I think that, there's a place for all type of different stuff. I mean, I'm in the same boat because I have too many games to play. And
exactly.
I mean, you get to a certain point in a certain age where you need to manage life, work, games. Husband, dog, house,
Let's be completely honest. Family first.
Family first priority. Luckily, he likes to play games, so it works out.
Okay,
there you go.
Good.
Done. Now the next thing, get the dog to play the games. Okay.
Work in progress.
But there you go. What did you learn most in the process of working on those large projects that you brought into doing your work for the mobile market?
I would say it is the workflow. Learning how to reuse. This is something that's not talked about.
Recycling is good.
You gotta be a pro. Copy paste, okay, is like you know, we copy paste, like if you think of Word, if you're writing a doc, but in animation, you are reusing animation, okay? For all the listeners, you are reusing. You want to be the king of reusing. Let's just say that I have mastered the art of reusing to the point where it is almost impossible for you to differentiate that I remember, this is a true story. I took Sam Fisher's walk cycle and created the Star Wars Leia walk from Sam Fisher's walk. Nobody knew anything. This is for the Star Wars title on the PSP at the time when I was at Ubisoft. I don't think, I don't remember, I'm not sure if I put that on the resume, but at one point I worked on Star Wars.
It's just one of the biggest brands in the world. Oh, yeah, by the way, I worked on Star Wars.
You could edit this, right, and put it at the beginning of the conversation.
No, I think that's hilarious.
So I forgot that. Sorry, George. Sorry to all the Star Wars fans if I disappointed. That was a fail. So, yeah, I worked on Star Wars, and we had to do a Leia walk. And I'm like, all right, I can take a guy's walk and convert it to a girl's walk. Nobody will have a clue. So the one thing that I really, really realized that is super important skill set to have is you must be able to reuse whenever possible. Deadlines, a lot of artists and animators, I'll talk for animation because that's what I do. The thing about an animator is they get the most pride when they create from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to tell them, over the years, the people that I've worked with and mentored, and especially, you know, I have a wonderful team that I work with at the office. I tell them, I always share with them that, you know, the work we do for the studio is never going to be like 100% perfect. The animation is never going to be like flawless. You're always going to find something that you want to rework. Okay, so put that aside. This we take time after production. You can rework the animation mm-hmm. for your reel, all that. Don't try to think about the animation that you're doing. It has to be. Eventually, you get to a level of animation where everything you put out is always friggin' good, right? There's artists out there who are just that good. They're that fast. They're that good. That takes years and years of practice, thousands of hours of animation, where whatever the guy knocks out. And I remember seeing these people working with them and watching. I turn my head and like a whole shot is done, and I'm like, holy shit. I'm still struggling on a simple walk cycle. This guy just animated 3-4 characters in a conversation, and I just had one coffee. How the hell did this guy, how did he do it? And you're just puzzled. So I realized that these things take years, but when you are good, here's the part they probably didn't tell me, is that they know how to reuse and repurpose content. This is what I brought with me. One of the big takeaways is learn to reuse. Mm-hmm. And the reason why you want to learn to reuse is it helps you, one, produce much more content much faster. Secondly, you are going to meet your deadlines, which is super important. Deadlines is important. Okay, you want your game to ship. If the game does not ship, the studio is not selling anything. If the studio is not selling anything, there's no money to pay your salaries.
Yeah, right?
There's no
money. You're out of a job.
You know, so you got to respect the deadlines. You know, like if the farm, if you planted crops and the crops decided to not come out, to come out basically when they wanted to.
Right.
You know, you have the farmer's law. You plant certain crops, you know, after 3 months.
You know when they're going
to go. Yeah, they come out. This is how it works.
Yeah.
Common sense. You give them water, sun, and then a couple months later, you get whatever, potatoes, this, that. So in animation, you want to try to guarantee your team, because you're not by yourself. You're an animation team. You want to guarantee the other team that my animation department is going to deliver. They depend on us. We all depend on each other. So copy-pasting, you want to master this skill. I can talk about it forever, but I think the major takeaway here is that it saves a lot of time, gets you to create a lot more content real, real fast.
That's an amazing hot tip. And I think your new project you're working on,
yes,
outside of, you know, your traditional work, yes, everybody needs a passion project, right?
Absolutely.
WatchMeAnimate.com, yes, and your YouTube channel.
Yes.
That's where you give all the hot tips.
Yes.
What made you want to start that? Do you love giving the love? Because we love giving the love at Girls Gone Games.
This is why I'm loving you guys. And this is super important to me.
Yeah.
And the reason why I started this is I remember being so frustrated, wishing I could record the people who would animate. I was surrounded by some top-notch animators who are now mostly in film. I remember just like, I wish I could record this guy animate. I just would love, like, I can't work and watch him do his own stuff. Otherwise, my lead's going to be like, John, what are you doing? I'm watching the other guy animate all day. Because this is how unbelievably cool it is.
You get sucked into watching, you know, the creative process.
Oh, yeah,
I love it. I have I have a little knowledge in animation.
Right.
But I can't do it.
Leah,
but I love
fantastic,
watching
you'd
people
be a fantastic
do
animator.
It.
Fantastic animator, okay? It's all about attitude and things. Everything starts with good attitude. When you have fantastic attitude, You will be a fantastic animator.
Oh, why, thank you. All right. So, next career, mom. Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
So animation. So when I started this, it was, the goal was to really show how shit gets really done properly. The way the insider pro tips that you never hear about, or at least that I never hear about, because if I go on YouTube and I search, it's always this, it feels very boring. And I myself have a hard time watching. I'll be honest. I have a hard time watching videos. I need to also learn. And sometimes videos are the only thing available.
Yep.
And I have a hard time. So I'm trying to like figure out a way to keep it entertaining and give back to the community. Like, I want to put this out. YouTube was a platform that did not exist way back. It's available and I need to leverage this. So I feel like I'm at a point in my career where I really enjoy, I've always enjoyed teaching. I've been doing it on many fronts with many things that I've been doing over the past years, but I felt like I needed to share all these things that I've learned in animation and try to just simplify and show, like try to debunk all these mysteries. Because as a student, the last thing you want is the stress. I remember the stress as a student, really trying to read all the books and try to figure, like, and don't get me wrong, Watch Me Animate is not, I'll have to be really humble about this, Watch Me Animate is not a one-stop shop. It is not the only place where you're going to learn everything. I am just an animator. Yes, I've worked on fantastic projects that are not, you know, it's not my doing. I just happened to be there and I got a chance to contribute. It was done by wonderful teams. I was one animator among the many people that helped develop these teams, develop these games. So Watch Me Animate is information that I wanted to put out there, and I want anything you can get on animation is useful. And if you learn something from my channel, fantastic. If you learn it from a book, fantastic. But I want to help you speed up this learning curve and cut out all the BS and tell you how it's really done. Now, it's how I do it. You know, this is how, I've never been traditionally trained. I can't draw for shit. I can't even draw a stick figure. I used to draw, and maybe we'll revisit this one day, and I can take some classes. Because you're just when your friend works for Marvel and he's done like Spider-Man comics, and you see the cover, you're like, yeah, I'll just never draw in my life. Like, I'm like, yo, dude, my buddy Wayne Murray, fantastic, does the cover.
I got one of those. Marco Rudy is a good friend of mine, so I look at his stuff and I'm like, damn.
Yeah, you're just
I went
like,
to art school, you know? But I didn't do that.
You lose hope. You're like, and he's like, oh, dude, yeah, I just drew the cover. Yeah, big deal. I'm like, dude, forget it. Like,
but the thing is, though, is your perspective, because you've worked on these things, because you've sucked in all that information, and you're willing to pass it on to others.
Yeah.
I think that's really
important. Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
From deep down inside, I mean this, Leia, I really appreciate that, and I appreciate the wonderful people who tune in to watch the episodes. I think there's a part of me that feels the education, like I'm a Khan Academy huge fan. You know, education should be free. Don't get me wrong. You run a business, you need money to operate.
Right.
For sure. But I can allow myself to do this stuff and put it out there for free. And it's my pleasure. Seeing them happy and their reactions to learning this stuff is worth every single penny. Like, you can't put a price tag on that for me. You can't put a price tag when somebody's writing me from the Ukraine telling me, John, I appreciate your videos. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but it's in the comments on one of the intro video. He's like, John, I appreciate your videos. In Ukraine, we don't have any 3D school, so I have to teach myself.
That's amazing, though.
You know, that just really touches me on a personal level. So I get wonderful, wonderful comments and feedback from a lot of these artists that are all over. YouTube is global, so that to me means a lot. So I want to put out as much as I can and do it in a way where I keep you entertained. We're testing things out. I'm open to suggestions, but I hope you enjoy it. It comes from, you know, from somebody who really enjoys sharing. Because if it wasn't, I'll tell you, this is the truth. If it wasn't for everybody sharing their stuff with me, how the hell would I, like, yeah, there's a part in my hard work, yes. But everybody learned from someone.
Right.
I didn't just learn from the sky. Mm-hmm. I might have learned from a book, but that book was written by, Richard Williams took the time to write the book. And that trick that my buddy like took years to master, fine. It's okay if I took 16 years and these are things that I've developed over the years. That's okay. Here's the information. Here's how it's done. Do me a favor. Take what I show you. Take it to the next level and show me how you do it
how
even
better.
How you
do it. Amazing.
What better?
Sharing the love.
Oh, you have
I
to
love
do it.
It.
You have to do it.
Jonathan, thank you. I feel like I could steal you and we could talk forever.
Yeah.
And we'll have to do this again sometime.
It's a huge pleasure and honor to be on this show with you. Thank you for having me. Anytime you need an interview or you want to talk about, you know, the classics, talk about anything.
We'll have to do it.
Another game. We're going to have to do it.
Give everybody the hot details where they can track down Watch Me Animate and
absolutely.
All that jazz, too.
So, Watch Me Animate, on YouTube, of course.
Right.
I have, you know, when you make, I don't know if people know this, when you get 100 subscribers, you get to name your channel. So Watch Me Animate was taken, so it's youtube.com/watchmeanimate, one word, no spaces, mm-hmm. and then the number 4, and then you. That would be the URL.
Okay.
Watch Me Animate for you. So on YouTube, if you type Watch Me Animate mm-hmm. and Jonathan, my name hopefully should come up. And Facebook, I keep it simple because I'm a one-man show right now. I can't do everything. I got the Facebook and the Twitter. Facebook is at Watch Me Animate. Yep. Facebook.com/WatchMeAnimate. Twitter is at Watch Me Animate. And, of course, I think that wraps it up.
Awesome. Yeah.
And you can email me if you want. If you have any questions, it's on my YouTube channel. All the details are there. It's a pleasure to be able to reach out and talk with many of the artists and just engage. It's so much fun.
Amazing.
And also, I want to say, I just want to say a big thank you to Ludia. This is not a big, a huge thank you, because Ludia backs me. They support the cause that I'm, you know, for what I'm doing. They allow me to use the content of, you know, I'm using Toothless in one of my recent videos where I'm animating a dragonfly. Tomorrow I'm going to be doing the talk. On Tuesday, I'm going to be using Toothless to show them how I create a fly cycle. But this is on YouTube. You can see it. Like,
amazing.
You know, most studios would never do that. Most
love
it.
Thank you, Ludia.
Thank you, Ludia. Jonathan. Huge, huge thanks.
This has been great. Enjoy Migs.
Thank you very much, Leah.
Thank you so much to Jonathan for taking the time to speak with me. I think it's really, really educational that he's passing on the love, like I said in the interview, passing on the love of, you know, all that he does and the creations and the things that he's learned in his career to others, and love what he's doing at Ludia. And yeah, super exciting stuff. So if you want to learn more about him, go to watchmeanimate.com. That pretty much closes out the show for us here today. Thank you, of course, to Fun.io for our wonderful hosting. Really, really appreciate that. If you're looking for some VPS hosting for your website, you can go check them out. We've got cool stuffs happening on our website and girlsongames.ca. Kat, what's going on?
Well, we've got our yearly gift guide that's up. We have gifts under $15, gifts under 50,
mm-hmm.
and then gifts 50 and above for those of you that like to make it rain. And they're all geeky video game related.
Very cool.
I personally love the $1 to $15 gift ideas for Secret Santa, and
yes.
then the 50 and above for my Amazon wish list.
Yes. Don't we all have a nice Amazon wish list?
Also, if you are in the market for games, either for Boxing Day or if you get gift cards, if there's a game that interests you, there's a little search feature. Put it in there. There's a good chance that there's a review, there's an editorial, there's a podcast episode. If it's out there, we've played it, we talked about it, so just use that little search feature.
Yes. Awesome. And Simon, stream yes. team-wise.
Yes.
Do you know who's playing what this week?
No.
That's good.
There's
I'm glad
be
you
awesome
know.
Awesome people.
I love
doing,
it. But
okay, no, I know the schedule, I just don't know the game.
Okay, that's fine. Say okay. the schedule, go.
Yes, so we have Multiplayer Mondays with me, and I'm not sure who. I think it was Alice.
Ooh. You going to play some Destiny?
Probably.
Nice.
And then Tuesday we have no one, actually. Tuesday, and then Wednesday was
we
maybe
we might have somebody on Tuesday.
Oh,
stay tuned for that.
Okay, we might. And then we have Witchling on Thursday, and then maybe me again on Friday.
Ooh.
Because usually it's Bianca on Friday, but she's away for, you know,
yeah,
vacation
it's
and
the
stuff,
holiday
so.
Season.
Yeah.
So all those, like, work Christmas parties, you got to get in your shopping.
You might actually see my face more often than not because I have no life. So I'm just going to game and stream it or something.
Love it. Love it.
And, yes, on Saturday, I don't think we have anyone on Saturday.
I don't think we have anybody on Saturday this week.
And then Sunday we have Alice from 12 to 2 and then City Chan from 8 to 10.
Awesome. So yeah, go find out all that stuff. We put it on Twitter.
It's going to
be on
Twitter
and
Facebook, so all that stuff.
So it's
just go check it out.
Thank you, everybody around the table, for coming to hang out and talk. I like talking in person. This is fun.
We get to make faces at each other.
Yeah, exactly. And laugh at the silly stuff and the mistakes and the way we speak and pronounce words.
Edit this after.
I want to throw to all you to give your social media handles. Allie, how can people track you down?
You can find me as 8-Bit Blonde everywhere on the internet. Instagram, Twitter, gamertag. It's all 8-Bit Blonde.
Awesome. Kat.
I am CSDSBINS, CSDBIN, on Instagram, Twitter. It's also my gamer tag. I'm on all the things. from Steam to Nintendo to PlayStation to Xbox. So, yeah, and follow me on Instagram. I post a lot of photos of subsets and my cat.
It's awesome. I love the cats. The cats are cute.
Very he's cute, he's cuddly, and he's always all over me. He's not fat.
He's chubby, and your he's cat is chubby.
He's got fluffy cheeks.
No, I'm sorry, he's your cat.
Am I going to have to separate Kubo? You two?
Have he's you seen honestly, my cat?
He's almost 10. Gravity is taking its toll.
Okay, fine. He's still fat.
The vet said he wasn't fat.
You're getting a little catty.
The vet said Bowie was fat.
Simon.
Yes.
How can people track you down?
It was a fantastic pun.
I love it.
Yes.
And we just...
We completely glance over.
I laughed. I laughed. All right, Simon.
You missed the part where I called your dog fat.
Whatever.
Okay, I'm GOG Simon M on Twitter. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm on other things, but just look me up on Twitter if you want to do stuff.
Awesome.
I play Destiny and WoW and Overwatch.
He doesn't play
and stuff.
Destiny.
Never. I do.
You don't.
You
I
don't.
Haven't seen it.
You will on Monday, potentially.
Yes.
Potentially.
There
if
you go.
Alice even
I believe it when
shows
I see
up.
It.
There you go. I'm Leah Jewer on all social media. And we want to thank, of course, Meltdown for hosting us. So if you want to go play some games, get some really awesome cocktails, beer, whatever, come on down to Meltdown there on St. Denis Street in Montreal. You can check out their website and all that jazz. But, of course, you want to know what's going on at Girls on Games, you can always go follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at the Girls on Games with the, because, you know, we had to put the in there. We're on Instagram and Snapchat at Girls on Games. And, of course, everything you ever need to know is on girlsongames.ca.
And join our Discord.
And join our Discord. Discord. We put the link up in Twitter
website.
All the time for that.
And it's on Twitter. It's on a website, too.
Yes, exactly. Another wonderful week in the bag. Thank y'all for listening to us gab. We will be speaking with you soon. Have a wonderful time gaming.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.